Hello and welcome to the Next Sense Institute podcast. My name's Trudy Smith. I am your podcast host and I am manager of continuing professional education at the Next Sense Institute. We're continuing our series on advocacy and it's my very great privilege to have Chris Edwards from Vision Australia join me today. Welcome, Chris. Could you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Thank you, Trudy. It's fantastic to be here. Yeah, so I'm the Director of Government Relations and Advocacy for Vision Australia, which is a really terrific role to be able to influence things that are happening for people of blind and low vision across Australia. I've been in the sector for over 25 years now, and I'm totally blind myself and use a seeing eye dog. So over many, many years in various roles, I've had to learn to advocate for not only things for myself, but to help other people across the community.
Brilliant. You are the perfect person for us to be talking to about this. And I want to start with your experiences as an advocate for yourself. Can you give us some insights, Chris, into some of the times that you've had to advocate for things that you either needed or wanted?
Yeah, thanks, Trudy. You know, I think when I think about advocacy and myself, I'm sure it probably started when I was at school. You know, one of the big things that I learned is that whilst, you know, there are some educational standards and there's some protocols about what should be and shouldn't be supplied to you as a student who's blind or low vision, what I found that was really important was being able to articulate to various teachers about what my exact needs are and to be able to work with them to actually ensure that the things that I need to be able to perform well as a student. At that stage, I had low vision and there wasn't any voice technology that like there is today. And so it was really important that I got the information in a format that worked for me and that I got, the time to be able to access that information. And, what I found was that if I worked collaboratively and I was very clear on my needs, I found that gave the best results to ensure that I could perform well.
Sure. So it was very much working alongside the teacher rather than making demands.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things is about advocacy is that you can be confrontational and demanding, but in the end it is about trying to influence someone or a body to get the right decision. And so the first thing about it is, I think, is being really clear and practical about what you need. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is sort of developing a bit of a plan in yourself to say, well, what's the best way I can get the result that I'm looking for? And the third way is to work with the parties to be able to do it. And sometimes, it's a lack of understanding from the other party about what the best way to support you is.
Yep.
And, what's really important is that where it's not working, you can articulate that and help come up with a solution. What I think is really important as part of overall work I've done in advocacy is not necessarily always have that solution. Sometimes it isn't your own responsibility to develop a solution, but it's actually to be able to articulate, this isn't working. These are some of the options, but look at for the other party to be able to come up with a solution.
Sure. So it's very, because I think I agree that people don't know what they don't know. And so sometimes, being even just explaining that why this is difficult, when people know better, they do better. And so you're making, by wanting to work with them, you're making space then for them to want to support you. And do you bring that same perspective into the work, particularly that you're doing with government relations and when you're advocating for the blind and low vision community, Chris?
Absolutely. And I think it will depend on what the particular issue is. You know, a great example of a recent piece that we've been working on at a sort of systemic level is the introduction of electric vehicles, which are going to create and are creating a significant challenge for people who are blind and low vision to be able to navigate effectively across the community. For people like me, the only way that I can be confident that I'm not going to be hit by a car when I cross the road is by the sound it makes.
Yes.
And so, you know, we saw that this is a particular big issue for Australia. And so what we did was, take a very strategic approach in how to bring this to government. And so the first thing was about bringing the evidence base. And so we got, an expert in the Monash University Accident Research Centre to develop some research that provided us an evidence base to say that this is impacting people who are blind and low vision across Australia, and that it is causing safety and it is causing people to have lower confidence about accessing their community.
Yeah.
Then, with that, we then took it to government to, say that, that we need to have a look at changing the law in Australia to get consistent with other countries. And so this is a case where, we went to government, wanted to work with them in a collaborative way, and there was some resistance. We could not get it, a commitment from the minister at the time, not in the current government, but in a previous government. And so that was a case where, we did our best to work collaboratively and then decided to raise that issue more publicly. And so we raised it across the media. We raised it across, various components of the political persuasions. And, we had, unanimous support in other sectors.
Yeah.
And it was only until, it was only when we got enough momentum behind that, the minister agreed to go ahead and implement the first step in developing a new rule to change that. And then, with COVID and a change of government, that got delayed. And so we had to again raise it with a new government to bring this issue to a head. And we're pleased to say that, the current government are finalising the regulatory impact statement, which is the first step to changing the laws to make it safer for blind and low vision people.
That's great. But what a long journey it's been for that.
So I think that's one of the things about advocacy is that, it's rare that you have a quick win. sometimes it can take, in this case, 4 or 5 or 6 years to be able to get to where you are. And I think that, when we think about advocacy, it is about having that clear strategy and it is about having persistence. And it's about looking at the various tools that you have to be able to persuade the other party.
Absolutely. Good advice there. Why is it so important for you to do this work, Chris?
Look, I think that as a person with a disability myself, who's blind and low vision, I've had a huge I was lucky enough to have people around me when I was younger that helped advocate for me, helped provide me with skills to be able to advocate for myself. And I think that, it's about, ensuring that, I can continue to help make a difference, not just to improve the situation for me, but to improve the situation for people with blind and low vision in general. And I think that it's not all about just campaigning. It's often, I sit on a lot of committees that are advisory committees around transport or around electoral rights or around inclusion, you know, for particular facilities. And I think it gives me a great deal of satisfaction knowing that if I can improve something for a blind person or someone who's vision impaired, make it better tomorrow than it was today, that, yeah, that helps me, you know, keep going.
Absolutely. And so you've kind of touched on this a little bit already, but do you have advice for other people in your community who are considering this work?
Look, I think that sometimes when people are a little bit unclear what they want to do in life, what I see sometimes is like, oh, I think I could be an advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really, really important that people are self-advocates, mm-hmm. and that they learn how to be able to influence things with their own community. To go into it in a professional sense, you know, I think that to be able to learn, maybe do some voluntary experience in working with an organisation that helps support advocacy, or to be able to talk to people that are involved in within it, is really important. Yeah, to be an advocate, you obviously need good communication skills, verbally and written skills, and you need to have some experience with understanding legislation, government policy, and sometimes things that you want to change. There are clear legal reasons what might make that more challenging, and so I think that for people that are wanting to get into it, to getting some background in public policy, understanding legislation, and continuing to have strong communication skills is really important.
Absolutely. Chris, I wonder what the place of emotion is in advocacy, because I know it must be challenging sometimes to not respond in frustration or when you're pushing for something and somebody's so clearly not getting what seems really obvious to you. How do you remove the emotion and continue to be pragmatic in the way that you advocate for something that you believe is wrong?
That's a terrific question, Trudy. My teams often say, is there anything that can upset you and make you unhinged? I think that what I find is that whilst emotion can play a part in advocacy, it also hinders sometimes strong and clear communication at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is about in advocacy being resilient. It's about being very clear in your thinking, and but it's also having a passion rather than being sort of angry or emotional. So there's certainly some issues that make me angry and feel that in today's society, why should that be the case?
Mm-hmm.
But it's about how you respond and actually say, articulating that anger to the other party, is that the best way for them to be able to hear you? And often that's not the case.
Sure. Well, I'm grateful that there is such a cool head advocating for these things that are so important. So thank you for your work in this role, and thank you so much for talking to me today.
Not a problem, Trudy. It's absolutely fantastic to be here.
Thank you. And thanks everyone for listening, and we look forward to talking to you next time.